And welcome back. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And, we've got another $5,000. You know what, before we get into all that, should we maybe say a prayer? Or should I introduce you first?
No.
I'll start with a prayer and then
let's do that.
Even though we're in the midst of Great Lent, I'm going to actually start with what's called our Troparion of Pentecost as our opening prayer. Blessed are you, O Christ our God, who have filled the fishermen with wisdom by sending down the Holy Spirit upon them, and who through them have caught in your net the whole world. O lover of mankind, glory to you.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was Father Elias Durham, and I'm his wife, Sylvia, and we're here in the studio with Patrick Polanski, one of the parishioners at St. John Chrysostom, which is where Father Elias is the pastor. So thank you, Dave, for inviting us to be here today.
Oh, thank you for coming. When I saw you were on the roster, I'm like, oh, good. I like these people.
It's helpful. It's helpful if you can get along with people.
So I did want to mention, though, that we've got, this is the pledge drive, the Community of Hope pledge drive, and that's basically what you're going to be talking about here for the next hour is the Community of Hope. And but I want to mention that we've got matching funds again this hour. Mm. Now, these are going to expire at 11 o'clock, so we don't want to leave one penny of that matching money up there, that unused. Okay,
how
make sure we use all of it. Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That was really kind.
And they're like, you know what? I'll put up some money, but I want other people to put up money too. Yeah. You know, I don't want to do this all by myself.
Well, that's the community aspect, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or you can go to the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. Once again, 470-508-1160. And we're looking for 100 new monthly donors during this pledge drive. So let's see if we can make that happen. Doesn't have to be a huge amount. It can be. That'd be nice, but but it doesn't have to be.
Don't hold back.
So anyway, Sylvia, so what do we got going on here?
Well, so I wanted to tell a story. This seems to be one of my favorite things to do is to tell stories, but this is a true story. This is about how Father Elias and I met. It was 32 years ago that we've got married. So this was a couple years before that, and we were both students at the United States Naval Academy. There's a special word for students there. It's called midshipmen. And midshipmen, you know, it's a tight-knit community. You're all in Annapolis there in one big building. You all live in the same building. And we get to know each other pretty well. And I heard through the grapevine that now Father Elias was becoming Catholic, and therefore I knew that he would be going to hell, and it was my duty as an evangelical Christian to lead him through the sinner's prayer so that he could avoid this pitfall that had opened in front of him, this great temptation. So I went to him and I explained to him the error of his ways in considering Catholicism, and the joke was on me, because a few years later, after we had gotten married, I myself became Catholic. So Father served in the Navy for 15 years, and then he came out of the Navy and worked for the government and then in the private sector. And then he became a priest, first a deacon and then a priest in the Melkite Catholic Church, which is one of the 22 Eastern Catholic churches that are in union with Rome. And it's been a very speedy, busy journey ever since. Father, you want to talk a little bit about?
No, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. So we're happy to be here today helping with the Community of Hope Pledge Drive. And I thought maybe we'd spend just a couple of minutes talking about hope and community. And you know, as we know, hope is a theological virtue. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it orients us towards the world to come. And really, it's an unshakable confidence in our Savior, and it's a key characteristic for those of us who are waiting for the Lord's coming. But even for those without faith, their desire for happiness, which can only be fulfilled in Christ and His kingdom, it orients them towards that hope. You know, and with media in general and Catholic radio in particular, it's meant to be oriented towards the common good. It should serve the truth and not offend against charity. And so the Quest is here to direct all of its listeners towards the ultimate truth of Christ. and his church. And here we are doing the pledge drive in the midst of Lent. Lent is a wonderful time, a springtime of the soul that's dedicated to repentance through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or works of mercy. So supporting the quest during this pledge drive, it's a chance to engage in almsgiving, not just with your money, but it's also a chance to support the spiritual works of mercy, such as instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, admonishing the sinner, comforting the sorrowful, all by helping to support and expand local programming. And then finally, this idea of community. The community of the Quest listeners, that the community of the Quest listeners and supports is a community of faith, and it's a community of hope. And together, we're all focused on the Lord's kingdom, present now in this world through the church, although in a hidden way. So we want to expand our community of hope so that others can grow in their faith through the work of the Quest, especially those who are looking for hope and for faith, even if they don't know it yet. Like the Lord Jesus, who has caught in his nets the whole world through the apostles and their teaching and through the church, we want to catch all of the listeners in the local area in the nets of our community of hope today.
I love it.
It sounds like you're saying that the Quest is already in existence and we should use it to do the work of catechesis and evangelism that we're supposed to do as Christians.
Exactly what you said.
Just like that. So let me introduce our other guest today, whose name is Patrick Blonsky, and he's a parishioner at St. John Chrysostom, where Father is the pastor, and he has a special role in Catholic media. Patrick, would you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do specifically with Catholic media?
Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker, so I work within the digital space now. It used to be actual film strips physical, but now it's mostly digital. And so I use that medium to tell stories. So I would say that I'm a storyteller through using the visual art of film. And so that's what I work with. And I find that filmmaking is the highest form, to some extent, of an art, because it brings all the arts together. So as a prerequisite, I view art a little more traditionally, so you can say, where it's geared towards purpose or participation with people and not just something nice you look at.
Okay. So what brought you to filmmaking? Was it because it's the confluence of all of those different kinds of art together?
Being a millennial, I kind of grew up in the technology, this weird phase where I remember what technology was like before and after, something like the internet and all these different things coming up. And for me, I just really enjoyed watching the TV. Like, that's where I got a lot of my stories from. And also, it also came from my mom actually did read me bedtime stories. Being Polish, a lot of them were Polish fairy tales and stuff, Baba Yaga and different things like that. So I think the mixture of the two, of watching television along with hearing stories from my mother, the expression of that just came through knowing TV and wanting, I think, to do that. But it wasn't always clear. It kind of came to me last minute, if that makes sense, while I was in, like, college and stuff. So
beautiful. Didn't you just make a film, a Catholic film?
Yeah. Well, I was part of a crew for Triumph of the Heart, which is a film about St. Maximian Kolbe. The director was Anthony D'Ambrosio. I was part of the camera team on the film. And so I was mostly involved with production. I helped a little bit with pre-production as well. But we went to Poland and spent about two months there filming his story, mostly what could have happened in the cell with those nine other men he was locked in there with after they made the selection. To throw them in the starvation bunker.
So the last 2 weeks, essentially.
So, being part of that process really felt like we were in that cell because we also had to go in there every day for, I think it was about 2 weeks, and just filming in that cell.
Literally
every
in
day.
A cell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every day. And I can't even imagine what the actors felt like, because they actually had to play the role and put themselves in the headspace. I was, camera guy, so I can kind of disconnect from it every once in a while. But at some point it felt like we were just waking up going to prison every day.
It's powerful just to hear about it. When we see the visuals as well in that film, it's going to be amazingly impactful.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it was impactful being a part of it. I saw how, even when the different crew and stuff were interacting together, how much of an impact it had. Not everyone on crew was Catholic. Some people were Protestant. Some people were atheist agnostic. Others were fallen away Catholics. So it was a diverse group. And so it was almost like a little microcosm of how the world actually works and telling a story of this saint that lived during that era.
I love that God is still using the life of the saint to plant the seeds of faith in people. That's beautiful.
And that's kind of evangelizing to some of those non-believers.
So much.
You know, I mean, to be exposed to that, it's got to have an impact on them, you know?
Oh, it did. I mean, really quickly, I was saying this before we were recording on here, was that we had some people after the fact, when we were wrapping up shootings, telling to us that they're going to go back to church, or they're thinking about going back to church just because they were a part of this film. So it definitely had an impact on the crew alone. So,
and real quick, we've got to take care of some business here, but can we see this movie yet? Or
fall 2025.
Okay. In theaters, or is it going to be on...
So it's limited. It's going to start off in limited theaters, and they're going to do a grassroots approach to it, because they're going to try to distribute it themselves. And so it's going to be similar to what Sound of Freedom did. So if you want to see the movie, go on their website and see how you can help to get it to Atlanta.
Keep us posted here at The Quest, okay? Because we want to know the progress on this, okay?
And that's triumphoftheheart.com, is that?
Yeah, it's triumphoftheheart.com. Or if you just Google Triumph of the Heart Colby, it'll be the first thing that'll pop up at the top.
Excellent. This is a Community of Hope pledge drive here on AM 1160 The Quest. I'm Dave Savage. We are joined by Father Elias Dorham and Sylvia Dorham, as well as Patrick Blonsky, this hour, talking about the Community of Hope. And if you would like to participate in this pledge drive, you are so welcome to do that. 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160.
Let me say it. 470.
Yes.
508.
Yes.
1160.
What was that number again?
You say it.
470-508-1160.
Absolutely. TheQuestAtlanta.com. You can donate there as well, or on the app. And we're really trying to get monthly donors. Father, being the pastor of a parish, you know that those monthly one-time donations are great, but it's that monthly commitment.
Absolutely.
Helps you
to
plan.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. So we got 13 of them yesterday. We've got another 3 today. So we're up to 16.
Glory to God.
The goal is 100 monthly donors by tomorrow at 6. So we got a little catching up to do.
We get busy.
Yeah, yep. A little catching up to do, but I think we can do it. And everyone who gives at least $100 a month, you're going to get this. We got these really beautiful rosaries that have been touched to the relic of some of your favorite saints. So that would that make it a third class, right?
There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, so make sure you're calling in 470-508-1160. Okay, Father?
All right. I'd like to introduce Sylvia Dorham, who's here in the studio with us this morning. She is a wife and a mother to 10.
10 children.
She's been teaching Creighton Model NFP for, what is it, 15 years
15
now?
15 years, yes.
Any idea how many couples you've taught over those years?
147.
Wow.
Precisely.
Seriously, wow.
A lot of lives changed.
Yep.
She's also a voice artist, does a lot of voice work, and she is an author specializing in children's books, such as the Monk's Daily Bread series, available through TAN Publications.
TAN Books, yeah.
If you listen to those pro-life minutes that we run on The Quest, that's Sylvia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's good when we can use the skills that God's given us to further our community goals, just like we're doing here. Everyone comes with their community goals. You know, I first knew that I wanted to do something with radio when I was a little child growing up in the middle of the Adirondack Mountains, where we could get 2 radio stations. In the middle of the night, we could get WBZ from Boston, which is a big talk show radio, but only at nighttime when the AM waves could get into the mountains. And we could also get a rock station out of Plattsburgh, New York. But in the evenings, WBZ on Sunday evenings would play an audiobook. And I would just, you know, curl up around the radio just to hear it. It was like hearing a voice from another place that was inviting me to be a part of a larger community that was not available to me in this little tiny town tucked inside the mountains. So radio became for me almost immediately a place of outreach to other people where I could feel like I was a part of a greater community. And so it's so neat that the theme of this is community of hope, because that's just what it is.
Yeah.
People come to the radio, I think, for three reasons. One is the community and to hear a friendly voice. You know, oftentimes people will turn on a TV just to have a voice in their house, and they do the same thing in the car. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about that is in the car, they're comfortable. They don't feel like they have to defend themselves from, you know, other people saying, well, what are you listening to? And so because they feel safe, they feel receptive. So whatever comes on the radio, they're open to it in a way that they're not open to it when they're in a public space. Mm-hmm. So radio has this really particular ability to reach right down into the hearts of people. So God can really target people's heart through what they're hearing on the radio. So they come for community, they come for information, and they come to be entertained. And doesn't the Quest do all three of those things? It mm-hmm. provides our community, and then it provides this place where you can feel safe and comfortable and receive the information that we need to grow in our faith and also to know about traffic on 285 and also to be entertained. I'm especially entertained when I listen to the morning show with Josh and Allison, yeah. and their banter's funny. It makes me laugh.
So, yeah, and we do the traffic reports on the Morning Quest from 8 to 9 o'clock. And I always say that, you know, a lot of stations give you traffic to get you to your destination. We do that too, but we also give you information to get you to your final destination.
Your ultimate destination.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Well, Patrick, you were involved with another community called Catholic Creatives that specifically has to do with filmmaking. Can you tell us a little bit more about that community?
Yeah, well, Catholic Creatives was a group started also by Anthony D'Ambrosio, which is how I connected with him later on to do the movie. He started this because he saw that there was a lack of community for Catholic artists specifically. Mm. And, you know, as the world kind of secularized, a lot of these artists felt like they didn't have a place where they could freely express themselves with their faith and different things like that. And so he started Catholic Creatives, and then first it started in Dallas, I believe, and eventually kind of word spread, and it started becoming almost like a franchise type model where little chapters would come up in different large cities.
Like and Atlanta. Is
the yeah, one yeah. Atlanta, Atlanta was yeah. another one. And so I joined the Facebook group, and then I found out that there was a Catholic Creatives Atlanta, and I connected through there. They haven't been as active as recently, but you know, if anyone wants to take the chair and try to restart it and bring it back, then there's opportunity there. But yeah, I mean, it's for filmmakers. If you're a potter, I mean, if you make rosaries, if you do any type of craft, painting, it's all a community space for those people that have an outlet, even baker, make cakes, whatever it may be. It's for people to come together.
Creative
for that.
Outlets. Yeah. You know, I think that's a way that we're like God, you know, in a sense. He's a creator, and we too, he allows us to create with him, certainly when we have children, but also in the arts. And we bring beauty to the world. Father, you were going to talk about truth and beauty and goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's that line in St. Paul, you know, whatsoever is good, true, beautiful, think on these things. And, you know, one of the wonderful things about Catholic radio is that the content always orients us towards goodness, truth, and beauty. Goodness, truth, and beauty are always expressions of God's kingdom. So it's another wonderful reason to tune in and to listen. Remember, we were listening through the show on the way up this morning, right?
Yeah,
and just being really edified. So, you know, you get into the car, you turn it on before your podcast comes on or something, you hear the radio, and when it's tuned to AM 1160 Catholic Radio, you know, you hear all these things that are just lifting the mind and the heart towards the transcendentals, as they call them.
Isn't that what prayer is, the lifting of the heart to God?
It is, indeed. And it can make you much more prayerful when throughout the day you are hearing snippets of Catholic radio, because it elevates your mind to the things of God, right? Which is what, as we talked about, which is hope is ultimately oriented towards God and towards his kingdom.
And bringing his kingdom into the present world.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a prompt.
It might be. might be. It could very well be. So we wanted to talk a little bit about a story that I heard just the other day at a 40 Days for Life dinner that we had. So you probably know that during Lent, 40 Days for Life holds a peaceful, prayerful vigil outside of abortion mills in their local areas. And like Catholic Creatives, this is franchised all over the United States and all over the world as well. So we had the great opportunity of listening to a former abortion clinic director who had an encounter with the people standing outside for the 40 Days for Life, just waving and smiling at her through the window of the abortion clinic. And it made her start to think and really to reconsider what it was that she was doing. She had been born Catholic. She had been raised as a cultural Catholic, but never really had a lot of education. And so she got into her car after an encounter, a smiling, friendly encounter with the people who were standing outside holding their signs. And as she drove, in order to sort of silence the voice of her conscience, she pushed the radio on. And she started scrolling through the FM dial and found nothing. So in desperation, she pressed the AM button. And up came Catholic radio. And you'll never guess what they were talking about. It was
Abortion.
How about that? Imagine that. Imagine the timing. So she went her whole way home listening to what the Catholic Church teaches about abortion and about life, and not a mean, nasty, guilt-inducing diatribe about how bad you are if you have something to do with abortion. But instead, it was all about the mercy of God and the goodness of life, the same truth, good, and beauty. And do you know, not only is she no longer the director of an abortion clinic, but that clinic closed down within 6 months of her leaving. There's the grace of God through Catholic Radio.
I can't tell you how many times I've worked here a little over three years now, and how many times when I tell people where I work, and they'll, so many times people have said, you know, I turned on the radio, and at that moment there was something I needed to hear.
Yes.
There was something that was on my mind or in my heart for a few days, and they addressed it right there, and I needed to hear that at that moment. And it's too many to be a coincidence, you know? I mean,
we'll call it Our Lady of the Radio.
Yeah.
She directs us just at the right moment to press that button.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, we're here with Father Elias Dorum and his wife Sylvia Dorum, and also Patrick Blonsky, and all from
St. John Chrysostom.
Thank you.
Milpitt Catholic Church, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, absolutely.
Down on Ponce.
Absolutely. And this is the Community of Hope Pledge Drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. And we're going to take a little break here, but I just want to mention that we're looking for those monthly donors. If we can get 100 monthly donors by 6 o'clock tomorrow, we will be happy people. Well, we'll be happy anyway, but
we will have joy anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
We
absolutely.
We'll be made happier if we can meet this goal.
So we'll be back talking in just a little bit about Community Hope right after this.
Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the pledge drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
Sylvia, you were just saying this guy has a great voice.
He does. It's so deep and resonant.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's Paul Crowder. He's a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, and he's a volunteer here at The Quest.
Oh,
and
he does a great
I want to just give him a shout out and thank him for all the help he does, you know, with voicing stuff. And
right on.
He used to work in commercial secular radio, and he's retired now. But we're just so blessed to have all the people that help us out here at The Quest.
And it's a community, isn't it?
Yeah, both volunteering their time and also giving of their money, and it's such gifts we're given here, you know. So
yeah, we need to work together.
Mm-hmm. So yes, we're here with Father Elias Dorum and Sylvia Dorum, and also Patrick Blonsky, all from
St. John Chrysostom, Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you very much. So yeah, go ahead. What do we got going on?
Well, Father, you were going to talk a little bit about the opposite of hope.
Yeah, this talk a little bit about despair, but I won't end there because this is about the Community of Hope. You know, and when we talk about hope, you know, I mentioned earlier how it orients us towards God and his kingdom. And something that it's easy for us to forget is that there's really no limit to God's mercy. And so we can easily fall into despair or tend towards despair when we limit God's mercy, God's love and God's grace. You know, and one of the ways that we kind of move in that direction is when we refuse to repent, we reject God's forgiveness. And despair is what causes us to really stop hoping in God's help when we need it most. And it's contrary to hope. So earlier we talked about how God's kingdom's broken into the reality of this world in a hidden way. It's not just something that we look forward to in the future. It's here now since the incarnation. And we really have to encourage one another and those outside our community who aren't part of the community yet to remember that the church is God's kingdom present on earth in a hidden way. And the church is there to make God's mercy, love, and forgiveness available to everyone. So as we draw people closer to God, we draw them closer to the church, we also draw them closer to hope and away from despair as we help them to reorient their lives so that they're not solely focused on the things of this world. We can only make sense of the world that we live in today and a lot of the struggles, you know, and find hope through the lens of the world to come. You know, and God's love and mercy, it breaks in really small ways sometimes, you know, ways that we might not expect. And I actually do have a story. You know, you mentioned earlier how radio, you had a relationship with radio when you were a young person. And, you know, I stumbled across radio as a little kid in the strangest way. I had gone fishing with my grandfather, and as we were wont to do, we went out to dig up the clams, and I saw this, like, leather strap sticking up out of the mud. I was probably 6 or 7. So I start pulling on it, and out came a transistor radio.
Out of the mud.
Out of the mud. You know, and I'm like, well, it's probably not going to work, but took it home, put in a battery. And it worked.
Oh.
And I discovered AM radio. And
where
so
was this? Where
this was
you?
In San Francisco, California.
Okay.
This was like the early 80s. Huh. So I actually grew up listening to like old time radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of these old shows, like Burns and Allen, you know, The Green Hornet.
The classics.
The Shadow.
There were radio stations running all those?
There was a classic radio station.
In San Francisco.
Yes, and it ran all these shows in the evening.
Wow.
So now, granted, there were times when I was supposed to be asleep in bed, but I would fall asleep listening to Catholic, or not, it wasn't Catholic radio at the time, but listening to radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had I had a deep affinity for radio and the power of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that that translated into our lives later on. So as you know, we were in the Navy as a newly married couple. Back in the early 90s in San Diego, and we weren't well catechized. I had an awful lot of head knowledge as a new convert. I think a little bit of arrogance. A lot of arrogance, a lot of arrogance. And so one of the things that we did when we first married is we contracepted. And I was driving home listening to a radio station. It was Christian radio, and I will never forget. It was kind of down low. And a lady called into the radio station and she said, tell me where in the Bible it says contraception's okay. And I started to get really warm and uncomfortable.
Sweating a little.
And, you know, the host of this radio show was very erudite. He was very well spoken. He never missed a beat. But he started hemming and hawing. And I got even more nervous.
Wow.
So by the time I got home, I said, we have to have a talk. And to quote Scott Hahn, the change in our theology brought about a change in my wife's physiology.
Yeah.
But it also led us to read.
Humanae Vitae. Humanae Vitae. See, at the time we were contracepting, I was still Protestant, and I had never heard of anyone not contracepting. How do people not contracept? It didn't make any sense. That was completely outside of my worldview. So when he came home with this idea, I thought, okay. And then we opened up Humanae Vitae as part of a follow-on, you know, like, let me get a little bit more information about what this Catholic Church has to say. And Pope Paul VI makes a lot of predictions in Humanae Vitae about what will happen if birth control were to become part of the mainstream. And it was interesting, he made these predictions in the 1960s, and within 11 years of those predictions that he made, every single one of them had come to fruition, including the one that predicted that state governments would use contraception as a means of controlling the populace. And we saw that happening in China with their one child policy, mm-hmm. just 11 years later. So I began to say, oh, here was truth. It was my first time that I had encountered truth with a capital T, you know, big truths outside of my Protestant church. And when I realized that the Catholic Church was right about this issue, I knew that, okay, well, probably it's also right about other issues. And that began my journey into the Catholic faith.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't let you off the hook with that one. So tell us what happened when you called home to mention you were going to become Catholic.
I finally decided that I would become Catholic, and I made the phone call home to say what was going to happen, and there was a long silence on the other end of the phone. And then, well, I'm not surprised you're becoming Catholic because you were baptized Catholic when you were two. Oh. I had no idea.
You didn't know that.
I had no idea. And at that moment, I realized the strength of the sacraments. I had baptism. It changed my soul. It marked me indelibly. And 25 years later, it pulled me back into the church. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's another radio station we have for our family, too. When we left San Diego, we were sent to Monterey, and we met a dear missionary of charity who was living outside the community at the time, named Sister Asha. She was selling EWTN shortwave radios.
That only would tune in to EWTN.
And I'd never heard of EWTN, but we purchased one of these radios. And so suddenly we had EWTN content in the late 90s, you know, coming to it into our home.
Literally streaming into our home.
Yeah. And it made a huge difference as far as our own faith formation, and was really kind of a big part of reorienting us and sort of energizing us and getting us very, very involved in the local Catholic community.
Well, that was when we started having a rosary group that met weekly at our house.
That's actually, yeah, you're right.
It's true. And then, you know, all of our kids grew up with us praying the rosary every night. We would gather as a family, and they're all grown now. But the effects of that reverberate through a family's history. Mm-hmm. Calling Our Lady into your family and asking for her intercession has long, generations-long effects in a family.
And you're talking about the programming on EWTN, and I just want to mention that we run a lot of EWTN programming, which is awesome. I mean, they're great partners to have here. But we're adding more and more local programming, and that's really what the goal of this is to get more Atlanta, you know, North Georgia programming, you know, things that originate here, getting parishioners talking about what's going on at local parishes. And that's what our goal is here. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Mari Cleveland is going to be in from the family room.
Right, a local host.
Yeah, and so she's going to be here for the pledge drive. We also have our newest morning show, Morning Quest, from 8 to 9 o'clock, live 5 days a week. You get your traffic reports, you get your information, you get interviews, you get, you know, gospel reflections, all that stuff. And we've even got a new show starting up next month, I think it is.
Oh.
Be listening for, it's called Crossed Wires.
And nice.
Yeah, we've got a gentleman, Chris McDonald, who is going to be on with Father Daniel. And so Chris brings up like a current event and then kind of run it through like a Catholic lens, you know, it's like, well, yeah. What is the church, or what should we maybe think about as Catholics or whatever? It's going to be an interesting show. So that'll be once a week. I don't know. We don't have a time yet, but anyway, that's the kind of, but in order to do all that stuff, even though Chris and Father Daniel are donating their time, there are still other expenses involved. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're doing this Community of Hope pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. And if you would like to support that local programming, make sure you're calling in 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com, or you can go to the Quest Atlanta app that is on your phone. And we are looking for 100 new monthly donors. So whatever the amount is, just, you know, can be a lot, it can be a little. That's what we're looking for, is that. Should I go down to the call center?
Oh, can you take us down there?
Yeah, let's go down to the call center. Oh, yeah. Wow, lots of activity in here.
Good heavens.
Whoa, look at that. In honor of Larry Shower, who was here in the...
Remember
that
hour.
Was 8 o'clock. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember. I knew it was today. But that's from Lisa. Also, Carol in honor of Kathy Meter. Thank you very much. Augusta from OLA Parish. That's in honor of Juliet Greco. He was here last hour. Also, Lisa in honor of Juliet Greco. And that's from her co-workers at the Catholic Foundation. Thank you very much. And then Paul from Holy Family, thank you very much for your generous donation. We do appreciate it. Let's get out of this noise. Whew. Lots of activity going on in there, huh?
Busy, busy, busy.
Crazy, yeah. So anyway, where were we?
You know, you were talking about local, and it made me think of the fact that when we go to local farmers markets, we always see signs that say, buy local, mm-hmm. act locally, do things in your local community. And this is a perfect example of that. We want to foster local people talking about local issues where they apply to us right here in Atlanta. And that's why what The Quest is doing is so beautiful.
And, you know, when you were saying that, it made me think about, you know, honey, local honey. Mm. You're not only supporting
yes.
the local farmer, the you know, the bee farmer, but you're also... It like they have the local pollen that goes
right.
in there, which is good for your health. So
right.
there, and I think there's got to be some connection. What am I trying to say here about Catholic radio
that
being
it's
local?
Good for your health if you listen in Atlanta.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there is some connection there. I'll have to work on that, but I know there's something there. Okay,
that works.
So local honey, local Catholic radio, it's all good for you.
Yeah, you know, Father and I talk to a lot of young people, and it was interesting. One young man was telling us why he listens to the radio, and he said he has so much decision fatigue when it comes to entertainment. He has to choose which podcast he's going to listen to. He has to program whatever he programs to get the shows that he wants on the television. It's a constant interaction. But he says when he comes to the radio, all the decisions have already been made for him. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is sit and relax and be nourished by this stream of good, holy, faithful information. And really, where else can you go for that?
Mm-hmm.
It's really a place to relax. It's like a stream in the desert, to use an analogy that comes from a book we may be all familiar with.
Good. Absolutely.
Speaking of books, Patrick, I believe that you have a book.
I do.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I have a it's a short book. It's just a collection of some of my poetry I've written, and it's called A Mint, A Siren, and the Logos. And I basically wrote it, you know, there's this sense of having a muse come over you where you just have to, like, mm-hmm. make something. And I, for this one time, I had such a thing on my heart where this thing would just not let go. And so I would go outside my backyard in classic Tolkien fashion, put together a pipe, and just, like, sat outside and just wrote. Like, not even, I wasn't even mentally there, just, like, wrote. So my arm just went. And so I had this collection of poetry, and I didn't know what, you know, it was just kind of, like, in my journal and stuff, just sitting there. And a friend shared that there was a some kind of poetry competition going on that if you submit your poetry, you can get it published. And so I submitted it there. I got accepted into it, and they published it. And it's available. I mean, it's up on Amazon, but I don't really talk about it. I don't know why. It was very much a very, like, personal interaction between me and God. But it was a way to, similar to Tolkien, kind of just interact with the things above me through... almost like I view it more through like singing or writing lyrics to your song.
Wow. What was the title again?
I might be mixing the order of things, but it's I meant the siren and the logo, so I'm pretty sure is how it goes, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Have you written anything since?
I mean, I still write poetry every once in a while. I haven't been doing it as much as I did before when I wrote this book. I'm kind of leaning more into writing more stories similar to, you know, the ancient fables and stuff, but through the lens of my own life and things like that, and also trying to write some screenplays for possible films I might want to produce in the future.
Feature-length films?
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't you write a recent article?
Yeah, I write, thank you for the reminder. I also do write for Catholic Link. I have, I think, 4 articles on there now. And so I recently wrote one on the role of Saint Joseph as a father. So that one, we almost forget what the categories we have mean. So through the lens of scripture and our faith, I try to bring it back to like higher meaning than what our secular world kind of diffuses everything to. So I've one on St. Joseph, what to do if you feel despair, actually, like hopeless, things that you can do. One about the symbolism behind St. Lucia, which is her feast day is on December 13th, and I'm forgetting one, but I have a 4th one somewhere around.
Do you know that today is March 19th? You know what happens on March 19th? Whose feast it is today?
Actually, no.
I know.
Who is it?
St. Joseph.
Oh, it is St. Joseph.
It is St. Joseph. How very appropriate. He's a good guy. He's really looking out for us, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A busy man.
Absolutely. Right? So this is the Community of Hope Pledge Drive. You were talking about, you know, despair and everything, and you know, we've got a community of hope here on the quest, and that's what we're talking about here. We've got Father Elias Dorham and Sylvia Dorham, also Patrick Blonsky from St. John Chrysostom Malachite Catholic Church. Thank you. And we thank you for being here. And I just want to remind people that we need 100 new monthly donors by 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. So any amount, we just are looking for that monthly commitment. If you can, I mean, one-time donations are great too. Not going to knock that, but we can really plan ahead when we know, kind of can see what we've got down the road here coming in. So we are at 16 monthly donations right now, and we're looking for quite a few more. So if you could do it in any amount, that would be awesome. 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. And thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app on your phone.
That reminds me of a verse from 2 Samuel. It's when King David is looking for a place to build a temple, and a man offers to give him a threshing floor and a bunch of oxen that he can make into an altar for the Lord. And David says, "No, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." So he paid a very large sum. He paid 50 silver shekels for this threshing floor and the oxen that went with it, so that when he made a sacrifice to the Lord, it would be something that had cost him, that he had made a sacrifice for. And that's important to think, especially when we look at the value that we get anytime we turn on the radio and we immediately have good, pure, wholesome, true, beautiful content piped into our car or into our workplace. You know, we don't pay for that. But we're receiving a gift from God, and it is right to give back to God something that costs us.
Mm-hmm. It could be, I mean, because there's a lot of, you know, people pay a monthly subscription a lot of times for content.
Oh, Netflix or Hulu
any of those.
And those are not piping truth, good, and beauty into your house or your car.
There might be a little bit there, but
you got to dig.
Yes, exactly. So,
It's important that we as a community draw ourselves around the radio station and use this almost like a locus. You know, there were times in the Middle Ages when the parish was the center of the entire community. It's where all the communication happened. It's where everybody got together and learned new skills and worshiped God and had their social life. And in a way, the radio has become that in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the stories are told. Father, you use a lot of stories in your homilies. How come?
Well, as human beings, we were created for story. We live in story. We actually can't make sense of the world without it fitting into some kind of story. If you think about it, God has revealed himself to us through the medium of story. And so story is really how we make sense of the world, and it's ultimately how we communicate. So, and it's engaging, it's entertaining. You know, some of the best feedback I've ever had on homilies really are homilies that had strong stories in them. So people may not remember what I preached about, but they're going to walk up and talk to me about the story.
And I can't think of the guy's name. It escapes me. He developed the TV show 60 Minutes. Don Hewitt, I think his name is. And I'm not, I think he's, well, he's passed away now. But anyway, he was talking about, I saw this interview where he was talking about the secret behind 60 Minutes. And he said, here's what the secret is. We don't tell you what the news is. We tell you the story.
He said
it's on these words, tell me a story.
Boy, and that was effective too, wasn't it? 60 mm-hmm. Minutes did really well for a long
time.
And
it still is. I mean, it's still on the air. I mean, it's been over 50 years it's been on.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that, and I've also heard too, police officers say that if a person has a good story, they'll let them out of a ticket sometimes. A good story, you never underestimate the power of a good story, you know?
Well, you know, there's also the ultimate storyteller, you know, which is the Lord himself, mm-hmm. right, who taught in parables, right, using story.
Absolutely.
Well, and here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still referring to those stories. And we can reference one of those stories, and everybody knows what we're talking about. That's a powerful story.
And I'll just mention this without actually stepping into the room because I just got this information handed to me. Janice wants to give a shout out to Honest to God panelist Patrick Blonsky. That's from the Honest to God crew. So thank you for your donation, Janice. We do appreciate that.
Thank you, Janice.
Absolutely. So anyway, well, I guess the hour is coming to an end here. Is there any last minute things we want to do or...
Tell everybody to call.
Yes.
Support this radio station.
What is that number anyway?
Let's see. It was
470-508-1160.
470-508-1160.
470-508-1160.
Excellent.
QuestAtlanta.com or use the app.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for helping out with the pledge drive. We really appreciate it. And keep us up on the movie. Okay, Patrick?
Yeah, I definitely will. I definitely want it to come to Atlanta, so
we all
I'll work
too.
Really hard, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Shall we close out with a prayer?
Absolutely.
We have one. It's actually in honor of our Lady, the Theotokos, and it's during Great Lent. It's a hymn that we sing to prepare for the Feast of the Annunciation. Right? I'll start it with a hymn. I'll close with a hymn. Triumphant leader, to you belongs our prize of victory. And since you saved us from adversity, we offer you our thanks. We are your people, O Theotokos. So as you have that invincible power, continue to deliver us from danger, that we may cry out to you, Hail, O Virgin, and Bride ever pure.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.